If you want to support the show, any of the shows, either this or whichever show, I'm not on right now because this is just a blanket ad for all of them, and the website, you can go to bewareofspoilers, .com. In the description for any of the episodes of Beware of Spoilers, there is the option to donate. If you don't want to donate that way, you can donate directly through the website. We do have that, mwpnews.com. And if you don't want to support that way, then going to mwpnews.com will help out because we have ads there. We don't want to keep it, where there's a lot of ads. There's a few ads. But the point is, we want to make it so that way, we can sustain this for the long term. If people donate, we're never going to paywall anything, I don't think, as of right now. But if people, if people start donating, we'll start doing cooler and cooler stuff. Like donations are how we get to cover stuff like Tribeca and other, film festivals. And, we may be able to bring on more people to help out. So if you want to help out the show and you want more content from us, by all means, even just going and giving us a 5-star rating on Spotify helps out a lot. But that's it. That's the only ad we'll have on the podcast ever. But here's whatever podcast you're going to be listening to. Good evening, and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam. I've just seen an early screening of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Let me see. I really enjoyed this movie, I'm gonna be honest. It's like I would lie and be like, it was shit. But no, I did really enjoy this movie. I think that the Planet of the Apes reboot series has been really good at, getting back to, just being a very solid, what's what I'm looking for here? Like, hard science fiction series. Where it's like, you're going to, we're going to tell this story in this universe and use it to, not really sugarcoat some of the more weird aspects of it and just use it as an allegory for something that humans do. And this movie does have problems. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I think that enough of the positives come together for me where I'm like, okay, I buy all of this working the way it does. Because fundamentally, I have an issue with a movie that, what's what I'm looking for here, puts, sets up all these weird things and doesn't really pay any of them off in any interesting way. Because it's like, I get that she's kind of, I don't want to say playing both sides against the middle. I get that she's playing the apes entirely, the lead female. And we're going to spoil the movie, so if you're looking for spoiler-free, I'm sorry. We're going to spoil the movie. I'm going to be honest with you right now. Because that's typically what we do. The podcast is called Beware of Spoilers. There's your spoiler warning. Freya Allen's character, May, / Nova, is kind of just, playing the apes in an effort to win out in this war between the apes and the humans. Like, her goal is to get humans back in their place of supremacy on the planet, because at this point the apes are running, are basically running completely, the show, just as a kind of decentralized situation. And I think the issue with this is she doesn't get enough development time because there's no character for her to play against besides one later on in the movie. But outside of that, there isn't enough for her to play off of, to really sit there and exposit what her motivations are or anything like that. So, or where she came from, or anything that kind of interesting. And look, I get that
you want to keep that kind of under wraps for the movie, because I think it does, like, there's a case you made that it does help progress the plot, you know, that she doesn't know, you know, that we don't know, I'm very tired today, that we don't know that, you know, where she came from or what she's doing, but it's like, the amount of the end of the movie that was kind of, like, dependent upon her being, you know, kind of knowing everything that needs to be known for the script, for it to end out, it's like, okay, so, who were these humans that were living on land who the virus didn't affect? Like, the virus didn't take away their speech and intelligence. And why, you know, okay, so they're up there operating as, you know, as agents, I guess, and they would have trained May at a young age to be doing that. It's like, all right, we'll piece that together. I guess that's cool. I think that, like, anything with that kind of falls a little flat for me. I think what you need is a, like, I don't need it laid out explicitly. I just need it to not be quite as, you know, the way they play it in the movie, where they play it kind of secretive, does kind of get annoying, where it's like, oh, and now we have this, oh, and now we have this, and now she knows this, oh, and she also knows how to make bombs, oh, and she also knows how to, you know, to use a gun, where it's like, the steady escalation of who she is and what she knows never really pays off, so this kind of feels weird. And I think where the movie works best is where you get into this question of the varying, you know, almost Protestant-like sects of the teachings of Caesar. Where it's like, what, who, like, is Caesar, you know, who is Caesar? What does Caesar want? What is Caesar trying to get out of this, you know, out of this situation, like, Caesar, Proximus Caesar, trying to get out of this? See, that's the issue, is that Caesar refers to the, you know, the ape from the first three movies, and then you get Proximus Caesar, which is, I think, his descendant. I think that was the implication, that he descended from Caesar. But, like, regardless, the point I'm trying to make is, like, this idea that, like, you have all these people who are like, well, you know, Caesar had his law. Caesar created law for the apes. So we have to follow his law. Because it's like, it's kind of like they're dealing with the descendant of a god emperor. Where it's like, Caesar was, you know, their messiah. I wonder how many Dune titles I can slip into this. But yeah, so, I mean, we're at two so far. But regardless of all of that, like, this idea that, like, he finds this guy who's kind of a purist of the teachings of Caesar, who's like, look, Caesar wanted humans and apes to coexist, and that was the plan, that was what he wanted. Now we're in this place where the apes are kind of running things and treating humans like cattle, and, you know, and that's not right. And it's an interesting dichotomy to put between that and you know, and the bad guy, Proximus Caesar. Who is, you know, taking Caesar's teachings and using them just as he sees fit. And like, look, we're not going to use all the laws, just the laws that help me oppress. Whoever the actor is who plays Proximus did a great job, too. I think it was my favorite performance of the movie, where it's like, he's playing this charismatic leader who's trying to convince people to do what he wants, and he does it so well. And it's like, I'm interested to see where this goes. Because I feel like this is not the end of the apes. Like, I feel like we have more apes on the horizon. I mean, this movie's doing well. Like, we're at a very clear point now where it's like, by the end of the summer, we're gonna be like, well, the movies that made a lot of money besides Deadpool 3 are, you know, movies with monkeys in it, and movies set in a desert. So, get ready for a lot of those in the near future, because Hollywood learned stupid lessons. But regardless, the point I'm trying to make is that it's like, when those ideologies get the chance to clash, which is infrequent, but they are posited in a way, it's kind of like reading a short story, like a science fiction short story, where they allow the ideologies to intermingle, and then you get to see them, but we never really see them come to a head. And that idea of them having to not coexist, but, you know, inevitably, which one's going to win out, and then by the end, we see which side wins out as Noah assumes his destiny. It's an interesting place to be. Now, I'll admit I'm not super familiar with the original movie. I watched it probably about 10, 15 years ago, but it's been a while since I've watched the original Planet of the Apes, and I think I've watched all of the old movies, which I think at a certain point were just episodes of the TV show cut together. But regardless, I mean, I'm interested to see where they go, especially how this movie leaves off with the whole space angle. I'm interested to see where they go from here and how they handle that. That could be very interesting. And especially considering we know Planet of the Apes is, you know, oh, well, we have to, you know, we know Planet of the Apes starts when the astronauts return. I don't know what you titled the next movie. I think they already have a War for the Planet of the Apes and Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. I don't know where you would go with it, but Assault on the Planet. I feel like there's probably an Assault on the Dragon on the Planet of the Apes. But regardless, I mean, there's a lot of that's not my job to figure out what the next title is going to be. I love the aesthetic because this movie is so close to the, and that was the other thing that kind of hung me up, was like, how long has it been? And I think that's the other thing that comes from them not explaining both May and the other guys. I'm not going to say who the actor is. It's a nice reveal. Both May and his backstory is, it's like early in the movie we find out, like the opening shot of the movie is Caesar's funeral. Caesar dies, and there's this power vacuum in his wake, as he was considered to be the one true leader of the apes. And it's then many generations, and then it's like, so like, how long does an ape live for? It's a question that I found myself asking, because I know it's not the most important question in the movie, where it's like, how long, what's an ape's lifespan, where it's like, are we talking human generations, are we talking, like, you know, ape generations, how long does an ape live? I think it's a valid question that never really, you know, gets answered, but I don't necessarily think it needs to. Regardless, I mean, like, you, by the time you get to that in this movie, by the time you get to the point of, like, what the fuck happened here? Look at the roads closed ahead. But yeah, I mean, I lost my train of thought, but I saw, like, more lights than I've seen in a long time. All in one spot that's not on a highway. Like, you ever see a road closed on the highway because of a terrible accident? That's what I'm seeing, but I'm not currently on a highway. It looks like it's just on the other side. I'm curious about what that is. We'll see when I go past. Or I'll see on the news later today. When I get in or I watch it on local news. Regardless of what I'm trying to make is, because it's like, that was the thing that caught me up, was it's like, how close is this to the events of the last movie? If that's the case, like, is it really close to the events of the last movie, or are we just, like, somewhat close to the events of the last movie, or is it, like, centuries have passed since the events of the last movie? And it's like, I think that based on the state of decay of the buildings, I would say it's been a reasonable amount of time since the last movie. But it's never really laid bare in a way where you're like, oh, okay, well, I get this. Especially, and then the thing that muddies it is the existence of these two characters who appear to have possibly lived in the time before. Especially the older gentleman, who, again, won't spoil. But especially he gives this vibe of, like, what's it called, of like, oh, he lived in the world as it was falling apart in a way that, that car is going the wrong way. like, no, that's destroyed. Yeah, someone's probably dead. Terrible accident. Oh my god. But regardless, the point, like, he gives off this vibe that he is definitely, he has the lived experience of, what's it called? Of having been in that world, of having been in the world before, like, and or in the world as it was decaying, as seen in the two movies after Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Rise is the first one, right? Was it Dawn? I think it was Rise, then Dawn, then War. But regardless, the point is, it's like they. Yep, and here comes the ambulance trying to get by. But regardless, it's an eventful night. But regardless, it's like the point is, it's like because he's there and he seems to have this kind of like recollection that clearly May doesn't, and he's like, you don't, you know, you're trying to bring back a world that can't come back. It implies that he lived through it, but at the same time, it's been generations. I don't think that's likely. And he implies in that he knows what she's doing in a way that, like, yeah, but can we clue the audience in a little bit? Because, like, at the very end, they kind of explain it, and it's like, whatever. But regardless, the point is, it's like, the design aesthetic of the world, which is where I was going with this initially, is really cool. I love the idea of this world in decay and nature kind of reclaiming, like, not just the apes, you know, making do with the, what's it called, making do with the existing structures that humans have and just kind of living in them, like, the decaying boats and the bridges and the, what was the other big thing? Oh, they, like, the initial little village they live in is built up all around a, like, power lines, like, the giant, you know, industrial power lines or utility lines, and that is one of those things where it's like, oh, that's really, you know, that's a really cool aesthetic. But then beyond that, when they go into the city proper, the way the buildings have decayed and the plant life has just grown up onto them, and it's just like the, you know, nature has reclaimed the entire city of Los Angeles, it looks like. Like, it's a really cool design aesthetic and design choice for this movie, especially considering how much of it is based in that. The score's good. Nothing really to write home about. I mean, we're coming off of a few great weeks of really great scores, so it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, I think this is a, on our scale, this would be a, ooh, that's rough. I think it is a 5 out of 5. On the cusp of a 4. Because I think the issue is, it's like, it is slow and methodical, which I don't have a problem with. I enjoy a good methodically paced movie where it's like, I don't need action every 15 seconds. Like, I don't need constant action scenes to keep my attention. The other people in my row certainly did, because this guy was on his phone the whole time, and apparently it's like it requires too much attention to just watch the movie and just let the movie play out. And I think the methodical pace of it does allow for the philosophical questions to really get time to breathe. The only issue with that is, if you're someone who's going into this looking for action, you will be disappointed. And I'm not saying I was looking for action. Like, I was going into this looking for basically exactly what I got. But if you're a viewer who's going into this looking for a big action blockbuster, that you would come to expect from a midsummer movie, or an early summer movie, especially in mid-May. And I think that there is a, like, the other two of these had a little more action in them. I think this is, like, it is worthy to stand next to those other movies, but I don't think it's as good. But that said, it is a 4 out of 5. It's worth checking out if you are a fan of Planet of the Apes, if you're a fan of science fiction. This is a movie that's worth watching. And I'm very interested in where they go from here, because I think they did a fantastic job of really building that, you know, toward the end. It's like, oh, so what's the next step in this? So the you know, and spoilers for the very ending. We'll talk about the very ending for a little bit before we wrap up. At the very end of the movie, the humans do get this drive that needs to be decrypted. So it's this, it's like a hard drive that needs to be decrypted. So the humans get that, and because Maya, not Maya, May brings it to the humans that are in this facility that are wearing these suits. That way they can, you know, they're in quarantine, so that way the virus doesn't get in and give them, you know, give them the dumbs. So they go in, you know, that's all happening, and then they send out a signal out of the, what's it called, out of the thing, and they're going somewhere. Now, here's kind of where I'm a little confused, because if it's been generations, generations human time, which is a possibility, I'm not discounting that as a distinct possibility in this movie, I think the implication of the very end is that they're reaching out to people on space stations. The question I have is, I mean, I know that they're reaching out to the guys from the original movie, unless it's like maybe that's an Easter egg that I just missed, that I haven't watched the movie in so long, but like, I think they're just reaching out to people on the space shuttle, like, or on, like, you know, the International Space Station. If that's the case, like, how are they still alive? Like, that's a genuine question that I have. Like, how have they survived this long? But I think that that's going to be where it is. It's like, okay, so we're going to see if we can, you know, get the help from outside. We do have humans off-planet. They will be able to figure out, you know, let's see if they can figure out a solution from out there and then come back here with the solution. I'm not entirely sure how advanced the tech is, because keep in mind, like, the spaceship that, you know, the characters from Planet of the Apes flew off in launches in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And I don't know how tied to that canon this movie is and this series of reboots is. So that's the other question that I have, is how much of it is actually tied into that, and how much of it are they hard committed to adhering to. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll wrap up there for today. Tomorrow morning we will be talking about X-Men 97. We'll be catching up. We'll be doing our Bad Batch wrap-up on Friday. Saturday we'll be catching up with the girls on the bus before we get ready for the last episode next week, I believe. And I thought there was one more thing. No movie this week besides this one. Bit of a light week. I'm not going to go see Not Another Church movie. And then next week we have, what's it called? Next week we have, Back to Black? Back in Black? Whatever the Amy Winehouse movie is, that's next week. But regardless, we'll wrap up there for today. And until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.